Celia Stone is the ultimate hyper-organized journal-obsessed 30-something with a life that is perfectly planned out and running like clockwork. From her promising writing career to her devoted partner and rigorous fitness routine, Celia has it all and she's right on track with her early retirement plan. But, well, you know, it can't all be smooth sailing. The Disorganization of Celia Stone is the latest novel from local author Emma Young. Young chatted with RTRFM's Danae Gibson earlier.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Congratulations on publishing The Disorganization of Celia Stone. I want to start with the cover. It's beautiful. Whose work is this and what does it mean?
It's so wonderful. It's designed by Nada Bakovic, who does a lot of covers for Fremantle Press, but there is a bit of a story behind it.
And can you describe it for us?
Yes. Yeah, so it's a bright white cover, very plain, and then the Disorganisation of Celia Stone is in colours, and there are a range of petals on it, organised very painstakingly by colour. And they really pop against that white cover. So it's a very eye-catching, pick-upable cover for it, both its order and the word disorganisation on it combined with this suggestion of order, I think immediately piques your interest.
I have a couple of confessions right from the get-go. Natasha Lester has the quote on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Move over Bridget Jones, there's another diarist in town and she is funnier, savvier and even more relatable. Tick, tick, tick to that. Thanks, Natasha. But I never read Bridget Jones's diary. Did you?
Oh, yeah. I was a huge fan of Bridget Jones and I love diary novels in general, actually. And so partly that kind of informal, confessional tone and that zero in on a character is what I love about my favourite diary novels. And so, yeah, I did look to some of those for inspiration.
It starts on January 1, 2019. Mm-hmm. Oh, I shudder when I see 2019. I guess that's part of it. I love a diary novel too. Have you been working on this idea for a long time?
I actually thought of it and wrote it in quick succession. I thought after a long period of self-reflection on where I was in life and what had led me there, I suddenly thought, that seems like the plot of a novel. And basically, I wrote it quite swiftly after that, sort of over a period of maybe 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
which was
quick.
Much quicker than my first novel. Yeah.
There are certain parameters in this because it's a diary.
And
so
it was good to be working within the structure of a year and a very strong chronology in mind for a fast moving plot. So it was a book that lent itself to blurting out.
I've got some notes. Very relatable, very local, very contemporary. So very relatable. I want to start with Celia Stone is talking about worrying about money, the worst stress of all for all of us. She also talks about watching Nigella at 3 a.m, which a lot of us can relate to, not being able to sleep well and watching TV. When did you decide on Celia's job role?
Well, in my day job around that time, I had been an environmental journalist for the best part of 7 years, and I was very stressed by the job, and not only the job but the implications of reporting on climate and environment and seeing everything get worse and worse. And being a journalist, you always have too many stories to come in and not enough time to cover them. And so you have to make a lot of very difficult decisions about what to cover and what not to, and live with the perceived consequences of that. I wanted Celia's job to reflect that sense of urgency and need and social justice, but I also didn't want to write about environmental journalism because that was too close to the bone. So I chose something that I also had an insight into because of my work, because I did some social justice journalism as well, and that was financial counselling, which I had seen in my work involved people who really work at the coalface and really see people who are at their lowest, and often they're at their lowest because of societal forces that are completely beyond their control, their upbringing, their education, their innate advantage or disadvantage, or life circumstances, you know, something that just happens to them. And Celia in the book is confronted by the need to help all these people that are beyond her resources to help more than one at a time when there's just an endless queue of them. So I really wanted to bring out that stress, that struggle that I think is not just unique to a job of journalist or financial counsellor, but that a lot of people in a lot of roles, for whatever reason, are feeling at work, that it is all so important and they must try as hard as they can. I wanted to bring out that pressure.
Celia Stone is in her early 30s, is a financial counsellor in a relationship and has a few things going on, Emma.
Just a few.
Spreadsheets and plans and control stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the devices you use in a diary, because if you open it up, there are lists, checklists, spreadsheets.
Mm.
Tell me about that part of inserting that into a story that is a great read.
It's funny, actually. It's been dialed back a lot from the original draft, the use of calendar items, of a yearly planner, of calendar items for the day, shopping lists for the weekend. And she instigates quite early in the book a weekend planning system to try to squeeze the most out of every hour of her weekend. And that was all based on a phase that I went through for many years in trying to do just that. And I still do it to a large degree, but I have backed a little bit off planning every hour of every weekend, mostly because I had a baby and he just kind of smashed all my plans to bits. But it all had to be dialed back quite a bit for the book for the sake of readability.
Mm.
And so now it is kind of laid out in the beginning what she does, and you're shown in the beginning, and then it kind of gets dialed back so that it doesn't interrupt the flow of the narrative too much. But I think you do get a sense through the book of this scaffolding that has to be around her life, or it will all be blown apart, as my editor put it, like taking a leaf blower to those petals on the cover and just blasting it all apart. So that's the scaffolding, all this planning that kind of keeps her looking like it's running smoothly.
Yeah, and forgive me if it sounds dry because of those questions, because it's not. It's funny and it's poignant, and I'm totally invested in Celia's story. I loved reading it. That very local element, the public holidays and it's summer when we start and finish, because it's a year, and I can feel it. It feels very Perth. And the contemporary part I really loved is that Celia listens to podcasts, not necessarily true crime podcasts, which I love, Googles everything, keeps apps for health and well-being. It feels very 2023.
That's what I kind of, in my pitch, I kind of put, it's Bridget Jones if you kind of dragged her kicking and screaming into the 21st century and dumped her in the middle of what life is really like today. And it is a whole different kettle of fish to what it was 20 or 30 years ago. And it's tense and it's chaos. And yeah, I wanted that to feel very real.
I've described it as, you know, it's about love, loss, grief, jogging. Although you call it running, I don't think anyone mentions jogging anymore. Anyway, can you read something for me? Just because this was the first time that I tiffled, i.e. I didn't laugh out loud. I said, oh, that is funny, which is a tiffle.
Oh, yes, she's talking about all of her commitments in February, and she's trying to find a way to make it all better and resolve her scheduling commitments, and she's appealed to her husband not to let her do that anymore, and he has responded with reasonable frustration. And then Friday the 1st of March opens. The library has my book in, The Pleasures of Leisure by Robert Desai. No time to go and pick it up.
Yeah, that's great. Some entries are a line, some are pages, some are checklists, and there's some gritty stuff in here, Emma. I don't want to give too much away.
No, but it is a raw book. I wanted to talk about everything. It's all out on the table. This book is so personal, I'm actually a bit scared to have it out there, but it's out there now, so we'll see. It's definitely a no-holds-barred kind of a read.
I didn't know you were a wrestler. Who do you want to read it? I mean, obviously everybody and all their children and, you know, buy it for Christmas, but who is the reader you're aiming?
I guess I want women to read it. I want women who are struggling with the thought that they, you know, do they have a baby? Do they not have a baby? Do they go ahead with their career? Do they focus on their family? I want those women to read it very much, and also women who have been through all those choices before. But I also want anybody to read it who is struggling with the demands of modern life and the invasion of technology into our lives, and anyone who is thinking about work and trying to reconcile its place with the rest of their life. And that all sounds really serious. So above all, I want anyone to read it who wants a laugh.
I can imagine a lot of people on a train reading The Disorganisation of Celia Stone. Emma Young, thanks so much for coming in and chatting with us.
Let's hope that's a prescient image that you've laid out there. Make it happen.
That was Emma Young chatting with Danae Gibson. The Disorganisation of Celia Stone is published by Fremantle Press.